Welcome back to this episode of the Knowledge Base Podcast. I'm Kate, your host, and part of eMoney's e-learning team. Today I'm welcoming John Costello, Senior Business Analyst here at eMoney, to talk about a topic that is discussed so often here, that I know so many of you implement in your business for your clients, Roth conversions. John works so closely with this feature, and I know you're in for a treat with today's episode. Here's my conversation with John. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Hey, John, thanks for joining the Knowledge Base podcast today. Before we get started, can you tell our listeners who you are and what you do at eMoney?
Sure. Thanks, Kate. So my name is John Costello. I'm a senior business analyst here at eMoney. I've been here for going on about 9 years at this point. And my main role at the company is to work on design of new features for anything planning related. And when I say design, I mean more on like the functional side of things. So if we're developing a new feature like Roth conversions, for example, that we're talking about today, what is the math? How does it work? What types of reports should it show on? What should it look like on those reports? So very much on the functional design of things as opposed to like the aesthetics. Trust me when I tell you, you don't want me deciding what something should look like. But as far as how the math works, I'm your guy.
Still a very, very important part of the process, though. Like, the functionality aspect of everything is super key. So we could not do that without you and your role here. For our listeners who aren't super familiar with Roth conversions in eMoney, I do want to start with some basic questions. And then kind of from there, we'll really dive into the nitty-gritty details a little bit more. So for those who aren't very familiar, can you give a brief overview of what Roth conversions are and really more so even how they're handled in eMoney?
Sure. Yeah. So from a very high level, in the real world, basically a Roth conversion is a transfer of assets from a pre-tax account, usually a retirement account like a traditional IRA or a 401k, into a Roth account. So you're basically converting pre-tax money into post-tax Roth money. So you're paying taxes on it up front so that later on in life when you're taking withdrawals from those funds, you don't have to pay taxes on the withdrawals. So it's basically a way to take advantage of low tax years in order to get tax-free money later on. So the way that we handle that in eMoney world is we have a own dedicated area inside of your client's facts where you can go in, create a Roth conversion, and we're going to ask you a series of questions about what type of account you want to pull it from, what's the destination account you want to put the money into, when you want it to happen, and some other things that we'll get into more detail on as Kate and I continue chatting here. But you're going to find all of that in your facts underneath the transfers area. You'll see a big section called Roth conversion, and that's going to ask you everything we need to know in order to do it for you.
I love it. Yeah, that was a great high-level overview and also just a glimpse into kind of how it all fits into the planning experience. And there's so many things with taxes that are involved as well. It's a big conversation that I have with a lot of advisors and also just people here at eMoney, just the role that tax planning has in the financial planning process. So cool to get a glimpse into that. What are one or two pointers you have for the advisor who has never modeled a Roth conversion in eMoney? So someone brand new, they don't really know anything. What's kind of one or two just like pointers that you would give them?
Yeah, so okay, I'll give you kind of two distinct ones. One is more on the data entry side of things, and then one that's more on kind of familiarizing yourself with some of our reporting options. So on the data entry side of things, I'd just say before you dive into doing Roth conversions, just take a look at the accounts that you have entered, whether you're bringing them through connections or manually entering them, and just make sure you're happy with the state of the data for both your Roth account, whether it's a hypothetical one, and the account that you're pulling money from in order to do the conversion, so an IRA or a 401k or something. That will just make it easier when you get into the actual step of creating the conversion, if you have all of your accounts ready and all that kind of stuff. So that's the first thing I would do, is just check out the accounts that you're going to be moving money from and just make sure you're happy with, you know, that the values are up to date and you got your tax bases and all that fun stuff. On the reporting side of things, like, I couldn't recommend more familiarizing yourself with some of our tax reporting options that we have. In particular, I recommend there's a report inside of Decision Center in the income tax family called the Tax Bracket Report. This is an excellent report for both evaluating the results of a conversion that you do and also helping to identify low tax years in which it makes sense to even do a conversion in the first place. So I'd recommend familiarizing yourself with that report, get comfortable with it, because it's very handy in modeling Roth conversions.
Great tips. Good idea to have all the ducks in a row before diving in. People will just dive right into the application and go into different parts without almost reading the manual of how to like put the toy together and really get used to what's in the application. So great idea to kind of have certain things in line, maybe before getting into the weeds of modeling that Roth conversion in e-money. What are the conversion types that advisors can choose from? And what are the differences among those conversion types or between the conversion types available?
Yeah, so while you're going through and you're doing a Roth conversion in e-money, there's a couple different ways that you can elect to move money from one account to another. So we have four different options. We refer to them as conversion types. And effectively what conversion type means is, how do you want to move this money? Do you want to just move a fixed amount? So maybe you just know that, hey, I got this IRA, it's got 20 grand in it. I want to take 10 grand of that in 2035 when my client is retiring, and I want to move that into a Roth account. You can just specify a fixed amount, and we're just going to honor whatever dollar value you plop in there and whatever year you want us to move it. So you're just typing in a flat value, 10 grand, whatever it is. Or you can elect to say, well, I know I'm just going to roll over this entire account or convert this entire account. So let me take the full account value, which is option number two, and we'll just take, again, whatever year you specify, we'll convert that entire account into a Roth IRA. Or you can say, I want to deplete this over a period, in which case we'll draw down that account in equal installments over a period of time that you specify. So maybe you want to do the conversion over 5 years instead of just doing it in a single year. You can select the account that you want to convert and say deplete over period, enter in your period of years, and we'll convert that account in equal installments over those 5 years or whatever period you select. And then the final one, which is probably the most exciting one and the one that people tend to use the most, which is filling up to a specified tax bracket. So in the year that you specify, we'll take a look at what the client's tax picture looks like, how much taxable income they have from other sources, and we'll calculate basically how much to convert in order to hit that next bracket of, you know, the going from the 10% to the 15% or the 25% bracket, whatever you specify. So we'll do a lot of the legwork for you, and we'll take a look at what their tax picture looks like, and we'll determine our best estimate of how much we should convert in that year in order to get you to that next bracket, as opposed to relying on you guys to tell us specifically how much you want to move over.
That's the perfect segue into my next question, because it's all about the fill-up tax bracket. So that obviously, like you mentioned, that's a very common conversion type for our advisors to use. And we get a lot of questions about this one, specifically around the fact that when viewing the tax bracket report in the Decision Center, it can appear that the client is exceeding that selected tax bracket. Can you explain to advisors who might be confused by why this is happening, why this occurs?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple different answers to this question. Probably the most common one that you might run into is when you're telling us inside of the conversion itself that you want to convert up to, say, the 25% bracket, if that's the next bracket for the client, we do our best to estimate based off what their current taxable income is. how much money that we would need to move over. But sometimes moving that money over might create other trickle-down taxable events. So, for example, because we're converting money from a traditional IRA to the Roth account, we know that's going to generate taxable income, but maybe that increases their AGI threshold for a deduction that they were getting previously or something like that. So we might have a little bit of spillover because there might be some trickle-down impacts just from injecting that taxable income. And because in order to calculate basically how much we would want to move over, we need to do that estimation at the front end. Sometimes you end up with a little bit of spillover because there might be some tangential tax impacts from generating taxable income separate from the actual conversion itself. So that's one reason that it can happen. Another reason is in particular, if you have clients who maybe have close to no taxable income in a year that you're trying to do a conversion. So maybe somebody is just retired, their income really drops off, Social Security hasn't kicked in yet. So they got a couple of years kind of in that early window of retirement where they have almost no taxable income. Sometimes you run into situations like the taxable income generated by the conversion might take them over like a standard deduction threshold or something like that. And because we're showing the actual dollars that are being converted on the tax bracket chart as opposed to just the taxable amount created by the conversion, sometimes you might see a little spillover from that too. So we try our best, and we're constantly making refinements to make it a little bit smarter. But because of that front-end estimation, sometimes you might see a little bit of spillover into the next bracket.
Got it. That makes sense. And it's still obviously a super helpful feature within the application. So just wanted to give our listeners, you know, a little bit of context as to if they see that, why that might be happening, since we do get some questions on that. Is there anything else specifically that the advisor should know when it comes to this fill-up tax bracket option?
A couple things I'd point out. One is more on the reporting side again, and then one on the actual fact entry side. So some users might be curious if you go in and you're looking at the fill-up tax bracket that we have different tax rates. So instead of showing you the 15% bracket, it will show you, you know, the 12/15% bracket. So this is related to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So depending on when the conversion is taking place, that will dictate what bracket is actually legal in that year based off the sunsetting rules, which, you know, we just had a regime change, so who knows what the future holds. There might be more tax legislation coming, but based on what we know today, because things are sunsetting, depending on what year you're doing that conversion, you might get a different bracket. So if you're looking at that list and you're a little curious why we show 12/15 instead of just 15 or just 12, that's why. It's because depending on the year that it takes place, it might be a 12% rate, it might be a 15% rate based on where the year of the conversion lines up with whether or not tax laws are sunsetting. The other thing I would mention related to the fill-up bracket too is, again, and this kind of ties back to something that we chatted about a little bit earlier too, but just really familiarizing yourself with the tax bracket report and hovering over those individual lines that show you where the tax brackets are, because that's the easiest way to see that gap. So if you're trying to visualize, okay, roughly what is it going to look like if I fill up to the 15% bracket, the easiest way to do that is to go to that tax bracket report, hover over that line, and you should be able to see that gap there. So that while that report plays nicely with any kind of conversion that you do, it really works kind of hand in hand with that fill-up bracket feature.
Interesting. Very good tips, and also some insight into just like the reality of how laws and regulations can really change just different things. So Yeah, great tips to leave our advisors with. Sometimes advisors will go in, they'll model different things, really just wanting to show clients the impact of, you know, throughout the planning process, if we tried this in scenario one, here's what, you know, your outcome would be versus if you did this financially, you could have a totally different outcome. So if you had something hypothetical that you weren't necessarily implementing today, how does that change in terms of modeling it within the application?
Yeah, so anytime you're doing anything hypothetical, the first place that you want to go inside of eMoney is to your plans tab. So the plans tab is where we can create basically a carbon copy of a client's facts, and then we can make modifications to it that live just inside of that copy. And that affords us a few different advantages for something hypothetical, in that it allows us to more effectively utilize our interactive planning tools like Decision Center or Goal Planner, and also allow us to do side-by-side comparisons between a client's current state and maybe this hypothetical state. So if I were, for example, I wanted to demonstrate to my client what the impact of them following my advice and doing a Roth conversion is. I could do that inside of FACTS. I could go in, I could create a shell Roth IRA, I could create a Roth conversion and move some money from their IRA that they have today into this hypothetical shell Roth IRA that I created, and I could pull up reports. But I don't really have anything to baseline that against. I don't have, okay, what if you didn't do this? Now we only live in the world of what if they are doing this. And so this isn't something that's kind of already written in stone. I need to kind of jump through some hoops in order to try to demonstrate the impact of that, because now kind of their baseline case includes this hypothetical thing. So it just makes the process of demonstrating impact a lot more complicated and a lot more difficult for really no reason, because what I could do instead is go into plans, add a plan, and then inside of our advanced planning area, I can add a Roth conversion, I can add a hypothetical new Roth IRA, and I can do all the same things that I could have done in FACTS and show what year I want to move money from one of their existing accounts into this new shell Roth IRA that I've created, or maybe it's an existing Roth that they have. And now I have my baseline case, which doesn't include that conversion, and I have this secondary hypothetical plan that does include it. Now I have a baseline I can compare against, so I can go into a cash flow report or I can go into an income tax report. I can compare my base facts versus this plan that I just created, see what the difference is. I'll be able to line numbers up. And I think even more effectively, especially for presenting and demonstrating to clients, what adding those changes inside of a plan also gives me is if I go into Decision Center, now I have two toggle switches that I can turn on and off to show that conversion. So I just click a button, I see numbers go up or numbers go down. I can go into the tax bracket report, again, click them on and off, and I can see taxable income increase today and decrease 20 years in the future. So it just gives you a lot more flexibility in terms of presenting and building a narrative around why somebody should or shouldn't do something if you create it inside of that plans area as opposed to doing it in FACTS, because you got an effective baseline that you can compare against, and it also allows you to demonstrate real-time impacts by giving you those toggle switches that you can turn on and off in Decision Center, hand the iPad to them, let them play around with it, or whatever it is, and get that real-time feedback of, hey, if you do this Roth conversion, if I turn this on, look at how your taxes go down in the future, or look at how your portfolio assets go up. And so it's a much more effective storytelling experience if you build it in plans first. And it also, too, a kind of like knock-on benefit from that as well is that you've got a cleaner fact set baseline as well, because you're not adding like shell accounts into a client's facts. The facts is just reserved for what assets do they have today, what incomes do they have today. So you're kind of avoiding cluttering up your baseline data set as well. And I'll kind of extend everything that I just talked about to even beyond Roth conversions. Honestly, if you're doing anything hypothetical, highly, highly recommend that you do it in the plans area, and leave facts for what we know today.
Interesting. That's a great best practice tip. I mean, it sounds like obviously like for anything hypothetical you mentioned, kind of best practice is for the advisor to really just focus on like putting it into plans first, seeing what the impact could be, and then moving to facts once definite decisions have been made.
Yeah, for sure.
My conversation with John encompasses so much about Roth conversions that we're breaking it into two episodes. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed part one of our conversation. You're going to have to subscribe and tune in for our next episode, which will be part two. Until then, remember that you can send us any podcast-related questions, comments, or topics that you'd love us to cover at knowledgebasedcontent@emoneyadvisor.com. Catch you on the next episode soon.